Hey, good morning, church. Good morning, Asbury. Hey, there we go. So glad you're all here this morning. So Kara Chapman, our praise and worship leader, is out this week. So my name is Mike Dupont. I'm a member here who I'm helping out. We've got the McNerland family here. Everybody except Bradley here helping us lead this morning. So please stand with us this morning. Let's get this room warmed up a little bit. Two, three, four. Seated. We're so glad you're here this morning.
Hi, my name is Carol Godwin, and I would like to welcome you today to Asbury on this United Methodist Sunday. I want to especially welcome our visitors. This service is called the Celebration Service, and that's exactly what we do here, celebrate. In a few minutes, the attendance pads are going to be distributed, and I encourage everybody to please register your attendance. Everyone you see that is helping in service today is a member of United Methodist Women. We're excited to leave this service today, and we encourage any woman not already in UMW to consider joining us. UMW supports projects to improve the lives of women, youth, and children locally, nationally, and globally. We're involved in missions such as Stew Pot, the Salvation Army, Asbury's Food Pantry, working with the public schools, and we also work with Wesley Foundation at UALR. We have three circles that meet at various times that will accommodate the schedules of working women and young mothers. If you're interested in joining us, please see an usher for a sign-up form or any UMW member wearing this sticker that says, it's not women's work, it's God's work. One last thing on UMW. We want to encourage all women to come out for our fun Chico style show, which it will be Sunday, May 21st. This will be a mission fundraiser, and we'll give you more details as we get closer to it. Now, on to other announcements. Please take a moment, Senior Sunday, please take a moment before then to write a note of encouragement, a favorite scripture, or a meaningful memory with our seniors in their journal found, and it's found in the back of the WAC. All new members are invited to join us on Sunday, April 30th at noon in the warehouse for a luncheon in your honor. Come meet with Sunday school presidents, staff, and other members while you learn about all the different programs and ministries that Asbury has to offer. See Reverend Chase for more details. That's it for the announcement. And one more announcement. Stone Soup will be this afternoon at 1:30 at Quapaw United Methodist Church, which is at 16th and Louisiana. If you've never participated, this is a great, great ministry. You will get so much out of it. Now I invite you to stand if you're able and greet one another and pass the peace of Christ.
Let's continue to grow in our faith, in our spirituality, today, tomorrow, and the next several years.
And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise. Unending 10,000 years and live forever.
so much. I love that song. Morning, Jessica.
Good morning.
Where's Lacey? There's Lacey. Come on, Jamie.
Okay, are we all here?
Yeah.
Okay, today I want to talk about fishing. Who's been fishing before? Wait. Just a second. Okay, so did you catch a fish?
Yes.
How big was it? So, Lacey got the biggest fish, you think? So, fishing is kind of hard, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it can be exciting, too, right? So, it's pretty exciting if you catch a fish and you want to tell everybody about it.
Mm-hmm.
No? Okay, so the cool thing about fishing is that it doesn't matter if you're big or little, young or old, a boy or a girl, you can all be good at fishing, right? But sometimes you just have to learn a little bit to get better at fishing, right? So there's three things that you have to do to be good at fishing. The first one is that you have to be properly equipped. Do you know what that means?
No.
What?
You have to have the right stuff.
Exactly. So maybe you need something like my fishing pole. Is that good? You think I'd catch a fish with this?
Yeah.
Yeah? I don't have, that's right, I don't have a hook. I do have a fish, though. See my fish? Yeah. Okay, so I probably can't just get a stick, right, and put a string on it and then put a hook on the string and throw that in the water. You think I'd catch anything? Probably not, right? Okay, so the second thing is that you have to, you think I could just, like, sit at home and talk to my friends about fishing? And then just automatically be a good fisherman?
No.
What do I have to do?
You have to
practice, and you have to go where?
To a fishing pond?
A fishing pond or a lake, right. I can't catch any fish in my living room, probably, right? Okay, and then the third thing is the hardest one. We have to be patient. Are you guys good at being patient?
Yeah.
Oh, they are. They're great at being patient. Oh, you can eat a snack and play video games while you wait for a fish to catch your... So, yeah, it's a good idea for sure. So that's the hardest part. So you know what? One day, Jesus was walking along, and he saw two brothers named Peter and Andrew. And he said to them, you know, they made their way by fishing. They were fishermen. That was their job. And so he saw them and he said, hey, follow me and I'll show you how to fish for people. And you know what they did? They made friends. Yeah, they threw down their fishing nets and they went and followed Jesus. And Jesus wants you and me to fish for people too. And so that means he wants us to tell others about him and what he's done for us and what he wants to do for them. So do you have any ideas how we can be fishers of people? What was our first thing? What does this have? We have to be equipped, right? So how can we be equipped to fish for people? Be ready and know what to say. Yeah, we can read our Bible so that we can learn more, so we can kind of know what to say. Yeah. What was the second thing? Do you remember? We can't just sit in our living room and catch a fish, right? You got to go where the people are. So you got to go out so that you can have people to tell. And then what was the third thing? Be patient. That's right. So everybody may not want to hear, and that's okay. But it's still, we can still go out and tell them about Jesus and what he's done for us and what he can do for them too. Okay, so let's pray. Okay? Say, Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
Help us.
Help us
to become fishers of people.
To become fishers of people.
Help us.
Help us
to tell others.
To tell others
what you have done for us.
What you have done for us.
And what you want to do for them.
And what you want to do with for them.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, I think Miss Sherry is in the back. I think.
Will you join me in prayer?
Our Heavenly Father, we come to you today, the first Sunday after Easter, filled with awe and thanksgiving for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who redeemed our sins by his sacrifice. We lay our hearts before you and bow to the majesty of your love for your children. We are thankful for your continued care for us. Thank you for hearing our prayers, for holding us in the palm of your hand during our trials. Thank you for the strength you impart to us. We are grateful and humbled by your tender mercies. As we strive to live the life that you want us to live, to love you, to love each other, and to serve, we know that we fall short every day. Thank you for your unending grace as you continue to love us. Father, we pray for the needs of the sick, the hungry, the homeless, the mentally ill, and the lonely. We pray for the leaders of our world and our community that this senseless violence may stop. We pray for peace. Please pour your blessings on those who protect us, our military, police, and firefighters. We pray this in the name of the one who taught us to pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we prepare for our offering, please join me in prayer. We bring you only what is yours, God, that you might use this offering and the giver for the building up of your kingdom and the glory of your name. Amen.
To the flame. Let's go to scripture from John, chapter 21, verses 3 through 12, and I'm reading from The Message. Simon Peter announced, "I'm going fishing." The rest of them replied, "We're going with you." They went out and got in the boat. They caught nothing that night. When the sun came up, Jesus was standing on the beach, but they didn't recognize him. Jesus spoke to them, "Good morning, did you catch anything for breakfast?" They replied, "No." He said, "Throw the net off the right side of the boat and see what happens." They did what he said, and all of a sudden there were so many fish in it, they weren't strong enough to pull the net in. Then the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the master." When Simon Peter realized that it was the master, he threw on some clothes, for he was stripped for work, and he dove into the sea. The other disciples came in by the boat, for they weren't far from land, 100 yards or so, and they pulled along the net full of fish. When they got out of the boat, they saw a fire laid with fish and bread cooking on it. Jesus said, "Bring some of the fish that you caught." Simon Peter joined them, and they pulled the net to shore, 153 big fish. And even with all of those fat fish, the net never ripped. Jesus said, "Breakfast is ready." And not one of the disciples dare asked, "Who are you?" For they knew it was the master. It's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us bow for a moment of prayer. I'm going fishing. I don't think that's how the disciples said it, but that's how I said it when I was a young kid. You see, I grew up in the concrete jungle called Chicago. But my grandparents lived on a farm in Iowa. So every summer, we'd spend a week there, and we traded the tall skyscrapers and the parking lots and the streets and the cars for tall ears of corn, pasture, gravel roads, and cows. And we kids couldn't wait. There were so many adventures, from chasing the chickens, which Grandma got mad at us, to playing in the old cars down in the bottoms, pretending like we were speeding along. But one of our favorite things to do was go fishing. And we'd beg Grandpa, "Grandpa, please take us fishing, please." You know, as little kids, you don't stop to think. He's got crops, he's got cows, he's got chickens, he's got tractors to repair. All you know is that's your grandpa, and you want him to take you fishing. So we'd beg him, and he'd always find the time to do it. Now, unlike the cute little fishing pole that was down here, we didn't have any. We didn't even have a pond to fish in. Grandpa would literally go and pick up sticks, and then he'd take string, and using that pocket knife, he always kept, you know, in that little pocket of the overalls, he'd use that pocket knife, cut string off a ball, tie it to the stick, and to the other end for a hook, he'd tie on a bent nail. That was our fishing rods. Sometimes he was prepared, and he had a rusted orange juice can, you know, back before they were cardboard, they used to actually be metal. And in that old orange juice can, there'd be worms. Other times, if he had been busy, he'd just grab a can of whole kernel corn off the pantry shelf, and that would be our bait. So there we'd go with our sticks slung over our shoulders. We'd walk down that gravel lane to a little creek that flowed under a one-lane bridge. And we'd sit there and swing our feet off the edge and hang our arms over the girder, dangling that rod. If my mother saw, she would have had a fit, afraid we'd fall in. But there we were. And if a car came, we knew to get off that bridge because it would rumble so hard it would bounce us off. But we'd sit there and fish. Grandpa would be patient. And believe it or not, we'd pull in some fish every once in a while. And when we did, Grandpa would take them because he didn't want our fingers stung by the catfish. He'd take them off that little bent nail, and then he'd let us all touch it. And we'd all say, ooh, and then he'd throw it back in. So that was our days of fishing on the farm. But you know, like the disciples, at the time that was happening, I didn't see Jesus in my grandfather's face. It wasn't until years later that I came to recognize that that's exactly what that was. That was Jesus in the face of my grandfather. For my grandfather loved his Lord so deeply, as much as any man I've ever known. He was a believer, and he was always there patiently for his grandchildren. Sometimes it's a lot easier to see God, isn't it, than in the face of your grandfather. I call those the boom, Holy Ghost goosebump moments when God really shows up. And normally that's in the time of crisis, isn't it? Some years ago, I was working at the Journey United Methodist Church on Cabot. It's on Highway 5 over on the west side. And that's when the Valonia tornado struck. And we weren't far down the road from Valonia. So I called up the district disaster ministry and said, can we be your distribution point? We're right here. We'd love to do it. And they said, sure. So for the next several weeks, our church was full of cots and hot plates as mission groups from all over the country came in. People from Oklahoma and Tennessee. We even had a man and his son from Kentucky drive all night to come and see what they could do to help. Those were the faces of Jesus showing up at our door every day. And people from all over the city of all faiths and all denominations showing up to see what can we do to help. The faces of Jesus showed up every day. One Saturday, we had a group of students from ASUBB come, and they said, what can we do to help? I said, well, I need hygiene kits. Now, if any of you are familiar with UMCOR, you know these little hygiene health kits. You take a towel, and you wrap up a bar of soap, and a comb, and a toothbrush, and a nail file, and a washcloth. You wrap them all up, put them in a baggie. So I set them to work. And they were working along, and all of a sudden, one of the students came up and said, Deaconess Colleen, we ran out of toothbrushes, and no sooner did he get that word out of his mouth, boom! A man walked in the door and he said, I have a case of toothbrushes. Can y'all use them? That is a Holy Ghost goosebump moment. I still get chills when I talk about it. God was there big time, and there was no doubt everybody knew it. And everybody that saw that, I'm sure, has spread that story far and wide. It was just one of those unbelievable moments. And those happened over and over and over again during those weeks when we tended to that distribution center. Another evening, I got a call from Byron Mann. He is our conference disaster relief coordinator. Wonderful man. He has a heart for disaster ministry. He doesn't stop until that last person has been taken care of. When everyone else is done and gone about their business, for months later, Byron is still working. One of the things he wanted us to collect were these 30-gallon plastic tubs, you know, with lids. What happens a lot after a tornado, of course, is house is blown away, contents are scattered, and people go rummaging through and try to salvage what they can, and they need something to put them in, so these tubs come in handy. So Byron called me up, and he said, "Colleen, do you have 70 tubs? I need 70. So Byron let me count, counted 66, 67, 68, picked up the phone. "Byron, I have," boom, a lady walked in with two tubs, exactly two tubs. I said, "Byron, I have your 70 tubs right here." Those stories just continue to inspire. Those stories continue to renew my faith in God, as they should for all of us. We need to spread those stories as we're fishers of men. Those are the kinds of stories we need to tell, because boy, do they show God. They show big time. But sometimes we come to rely on those kinds of stories, and we forget that God is not just working in those big crisis moments, but God is always working. God is always with us. God is always attending to our needs, anticipating our needs, like he had that man with the toothbrush on his way before we even knew we needed him. God is always there. And we see the face of Jesus everywhere if we just look for it. How many times have you run home from work, stopped at the store to grab a gallon of milk, gone up to the lines and found long lines of big buggies, and you have 1 gallon of milk? And I'm sure you've had it happen where people said, "Go ahead in front of me. You just have one thing." That's the face of Jesus, but do we recognize that? We're usually too busy. We don't stop. We don't be aware of Jesus around us. Or in your workplace, have you witnessed another employee who's helping a new hire? They've got their own work piled up, but yet they stop to help somebody new, knowing that means they have to work overtime to get their work done. Or maybe they're helping the older employee who's having trouble now doing their job. That's the face of Jesus in the workplace. Or in the face of someone at the water cooler who walks away when the talk turns to gossip. That's the face of Jesus. At school, the teacher who takes off their own lunch hour to work with a student who's struggling to get a concept and patiently explains. Or the other student who befriends the one who's being bullied. Those are all the faces of Jesus. Jesus is everywhere if we just look. Jesus is everywhere, like in the face of a grandfather who's patiently helping his grandchildren fish with a stick and a string and a piece of corn over a creek. Amen.
That was a beautiful message. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Colleen.
You're going to want to get on your feet, because we're going to send this church out on fire. Pardon the pun.
Hey, so before we do, so let's give a big round of applause, for all of our UMW women that we have in this church in this morning. We appreciate all you guys do. All right. Hey, Vincent, why don't you start us out on this one?
Ooh, 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 never be the same. Over and over again, I need poison. They need to know, I need to know. Spirit wants to fall on my heart. God of fire in my soul. Then the flame may grow. So there's no doubt or denying. When it burns so brightly, everyone around can see that it's you that we need. God of fire, you are the fire, you are the flame, you are the light of my darkest day. We have the hope.
Several folks in our praise team that would do wonderful on the voice. And so we are so thrilled to have everyone here. Y'all did great today. Thank you. I want to thank Colleen and Carol for their leadership in this service as well. And I do want to tell you one thing. You've heard about having that fire in your soul. And something that we as a church need to do is help encourage and put a fire in the soul of our seniors that are going to be graduating. I hope before you leave today, if you would just take a moment and go back to that back table and write something encouraging to our seniors. You don't even have to know them. Just say, hey, hope you're doing great, praying for you, and everything. Because we are the church, and the church supports our people that are going out into the world to know that they are loved. Would you do that today? Amen.
And now, go forth this week, seeing the face of Jesus everywhere, in everyone you meet, and be the face of Jesus yourself to all those around you. And may God bless you, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Start a fire in my soul.